Good morning. It's not as full as it was a couple days ago, but that's all right. I shouldn't have told you I was speaking. No, it is a privilege to really be able to share with you this morning. And get my iPad opened up here. There we go. Come on. There we go. Yeah, when Larry called me and just said, of course, he had the COVID and everything else. So it was, I think this is the third time, I think. So I think, Ken said, I think he's giving me his check this week, right, or something like that, since it's been the third time now, right? We had West Nile virus, we had Anna's COVID, and now we have Larry's COVID. So hi, Larry. Glad to have you with us this morning. Thanks for the money. This morning, I was just planning yesterday, really just sitting around. We're trying to have a little bit of a Christmas as well. I was a little bit preoccupied, so I wasn't really able to spend the time with my family like I would have probably liked to. But we will get that time today, and where I can just kind of sit and be. But yesterday, I got to just kind of sit and be with the Lord. Had some ideas of what maybe God would have me share with you this morning, and I thought nothing probably is greater for me to share with you than something as dramatically changed my life, and I know it has changed the life of many of you probably here, and it will continue to change the lives of so many people. This time of year, we usually come around, right, where this is the time of year where we start making these New Year's resolutions, right? We start thinking about these new things, maybe making new plans, new goals. Maybe we want to get rid of a couple bad habits, right? Maybe we're looking to lose a few pounds. How many of you are looking to lose a few pounds? See, there's a few of you willing to say you are, right? Might be that, right? Just reevaluating priorities, what's important in our life, right? These are just times where it's just this cycle, right? We tend to go through these rhythms in our culture, in our lives, and I think it is a perfect time. And as we shared in the announcements earlier that Marla shared, we're going to be beginning a series in John, the Gospel of John. It's going to be the Word Became Flesh, and in that, Pastor Paul will be sharing some message. I'll be sharing some messages. Larry will be sharing some messages. He's going to be gone again. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Larry. But no, it's going to be a great time. So looking forward to sharing through that. And I thought this is a great way, I thought, to lead in today as we consider really the transformational Word of God. Jesus taught us how to pray, right? He said, give us this day our daily bread, right? Within that prayer, within the Lord's Prayer, we might call it, right? It was a model of how we should pray. But in that, he gave us this model, give us this day our daily bread. And we also saw Jesus, and we see him in the desert, just before he begins his ministry, just after he's baptized by John in the Jordan, right? He's baptized by John, and then he goes off into the wilderness, and he spends 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And during that time, at the end of that time, Satan comes to him to tempt him. At his moment of weakest point, Satan comes to tempt him, to throw him off his game, to throw him off the mission that God had for him. He's hungry. He's tempted to turn stones into bread, right? So he can eat. Jesus, who gave us his prayer, give us this day, our daily bread, right, speaks to Satan and says, man does not live on bread alone, but by the very word that comes from the mouth of God. That's our true sustenance. Our true sustenance is the word of God. Jesus got this. He spoke it. Our walk with God, our journey through this life, and all we accomplish will significantly be different based solely on consistent time and simply reading the Bible, then meditating on it and praying on it daily. The Bible's been so much of an instrumental part of changing my life and transforming my life. I grew up in the church. I shared a little bit ago with at the men's breakfast, got to share a little bit of my testimony. I'll share little parts of that today. I was blessed to have a grandma that every time I got around her, I could hear nothing but Jesus. It was always about Jesus, no matter what. And this is my dad's side of the family. I kind of grew up with a split personality of Christianity. Some who just kind of went through the motions, and some who really dug into the Word and really committed their lives. And I know that was my grandmother's side. My dad was from that side. My dad was the one that brought us to church on Sundays. Seems a little different a lot of times than most families. A lot of times the mom's bringing the kids to church, and dads don't always do that. So I encourage you, fathers, lead your households that way. It's been an instrumental part of my life as well. But my grandma, I watch her, you know, just kind of constantly giving praise to Jesus. So I knew it was real. She just lived it, breathed it, right? I was sharing with the guys that her arms, she lost the use of her arms. And so her arms would dangle, right? And I watched my grandpa, you know, do everything for her. And yet, she, even in that, she still praised Jesus all the time. And we would wave, when we waved goodbye, she'd wave like this. And her arms just dangled. So, of course, as kids, we would wave like that too as well. And it was just this nice thing. And then later she got this jaw disease called tic douloureux and would send these jolts of pain through her jaw. And she would scream and yet still praising Jesus. Eventually losing one breast to cancer, another breast to cancer, and eventually her life, still always to the end praising Jesus. I mean, I was so blessed to grow up in that kind of an environment, in that background. Went to church. I listened in confirmation. I was a kid who I never really disliked church. I listened, but I never really ever studied the Bible for myself, other than what was just handed to me at Sunday school or what was just given to me in a Sunday message. Some verses that at that time it wasn't on the screen, but now you see them on the screen, just like you're going to see today. You'll see some verses on the screen. But I want to encourage us all today to do is move from just what's on the screen to actually internalizing and making it our own. To make a plan this year to just dig into this transformational Word of God. So we're going to consider today, I want to consider just a few points of the effects and the purpose in the life of all of us who call ourselves Christians and believers and followers of Jesus Christ. Just what these effects and purposes of the Word can be in our life. This is going to be a perfect time because as we walk through John here, maybe you've never really began a process, and we'll talk about this a little bit of application again at the end, but this is an opportunity for us all. If maybe Bible reading hasn't been a thing for you, you haven't dug in. The purpose of us doing this book of John, it's a gospel, right? We're following up 1 John. Purpose of this is that we can all start to dig in and read together. So I want to encourage you to partner up with somebody, maybe it's in your connect group or another Bible study you're doing, or you're meeting with a couple people one-on-one, or you're just here today and you're like, hey, let's do that. Just find somebody to pair up with and begin reading this. It's going to be about a couple chapters a week is what we're going to be going through. So it's pretty small, but just take some daily time, break up, you know, half a chapter a day, the first couple chapters, and next week you'll be ready. You'll have listened and you get to hear what Larry's going to share, some deeper stuff with that, and this is to help kind of help us connect the dots. But first to read it, to absorb it, let God kind of work on your own heart and what you're seeing in it, and then let's see what God wants to do with that. So it's going to be a nice time for us as a body to go through this together. So before I continue, let's pray. Dear God, I just I thank you so much for the life you've afforded me, Lord, and Lord, it's by your grace, your power, your mercy, Lord, that I'm here even today. Lord, that it's been your word that has transformed my life, Lord, and I pray that these words that you've given me to share with everybody here, Lord, would go deep into their hearts, Lord. May your word richly be a part of every fiber of our lives. Lord, transform us right now, here today, by the power of your spirit. And the truth of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first aspect that I want to have us consider today is that the word is foundational to instruct and form us. It's foundational. We just talk about living, you love me, like this new life, and death was arrested and new life began, right? We talk about I'm free, forever I'm free. We have that the moment we come to know Christ. The moment we accept Him, He's died for us. He's done it all. It's paid. We're free. We're separated from that death now, and we can live a new life. But that's not where it ends. The gospel doesn't end there. That's just the start of the gospel's work in our lives. It's going to continue to transform us. Too many times, I have too many friends that I even know that they have a childhood faith, which we always say, Larry mentioned a couple weeks ago, right, to have a faith of a child, but we shouldn't stay there, right? Paul says, you know, once I thought of as a child, but then I put away childish ways, and now I do this, right? We do become adults, and we need to mature. I see many adults that have just a Sunday school version of their faith in Jesus Christ. And I watch their faith, and I watch their walk with God go up and down and up and down. It's a roller coaster ride because it's not firmed and made solid, and they haven't been formed solidly by the Word. Discipleship has lacked. They know Jesus. I believe they believe in Him, but their lives are not exhibiting the fruit that God wants to exhibit through them. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, Paul says this. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Paul appeals by the mercies of God, right? What is God's mercy? God's mercy is that we don't get what we deserve. We don't get the punishment of death, right? We've transferred. Now, this group of people, right, as he's writing to the Romans here, he's saying, hey, you guys get this. By the mercy of God, you've all been given it because of what Jesus did, and you know that truth. So I'm appealing to you based on that because you're not going to receive this penalty and this punishment that you deserve for our ignorance of Him, the least we could do is present ourselves fully to be as God intended. And Paul notes that this is indeed our spiritual worship. We don't stay there. We don't just get Jesus and that's it. We're done. There's more to it. There's more to it. And He forgot our ignorance before we come to Him. He's passed that on. But He doesn't want us to remain ignorant. He wants us to know Him. Not just know about Him, but to truly know Him, to know His Word. As we said, you know, this is spiritual worship, right? Worship isn't just the songs we sing. By the way, you guys did a fabulous job here. That's great. It's not just the songs we sing. It's all that we do that brings glory to God. Every single thing is an act of worship. He continues in verse 2. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, and what is acceptable and perfect. We all have baggage. We all have baggage. And we have so much information coming at us from so many different angles on a daily basis that is forming our opinions. Sometimes we don't even realize how much the culture is influencing our decisions and our opinions and our thoughts and our actions. We live in a world, and this world speaks very loudly and consistently, especially when we consider social media platforms and the connectiveness that we have today. We're just inundated with stuff. And it's just all over. We see it on billboards, everywhere around us. We're being inundated with ads or some kind of thoughts, some kind of ideas. And sometimes we're just caught unaware. It's even subliminal to a point. We just don't even know that we're being influenced by it. But we who are Christians, and what we do and say is not to be formed by the world. It's not to be informed by the world. The ruler of this world, Satan, the one who was trying to sway Jesus off his track in his moment of weakness, right? He's the same one trying to deceive us yet today. Our minds need renewal. And this comes from the transformational Word of God. Period. It comes from the Holy Spirit working in us. We have that Spirit, but the Spirit and the Word work together. Matter of fact, it's the Spirit that inspired the authors to write the very words of God. There's so much I could have covered today that I was like, we'd be here for hours if I wanted to cover everything. I would love to share with you about the Word of God and the Spirit. They won't disagree. I can give you that. Some people want to say, well, you know, I just feel in my spirit that I'm to divorce my wife and I'm to leave her and go with this other woman. That wouldn't be what the word says. They will agree. They will agree, right? There's just things that people say, well, I just follow the spirit. And you know, the word's the word, but no, the spirit will never disagree with the word because the word was in fact inspired by the spirit. This is the way we test it properly. As Jesus was tempted by Satan, right, he continually used scripture. Those of us that have read that passage, right? He continually used scripture as the foundation of what he would do or wouldn't do. It spoke against the ways of the ruler of this world. At one point, Satan even quotes scripture, right? Those of us that read it, he even quotes scripture, right? But Jesus, he's going to lure Jesus off with scripture, he thinks, right? But Jesus actually quotes another scripture because he sees that Satan is actually twisting scripture and saying it, oh, well, it could mean this, and this is what it means. Like, and we see this throughout our culture today. They're twisting scripture and not being true to what it actually means. And we pick parts of scripture. We got to look at the whole all the time. And Jesus counterattacks Satan with scripture, actually the fullness of scripture. His knowledge of the actual words of God. Too many times I see Christians say, well, the Bible says this. And it's like, and it doesn't say that. But they've heard in the culture. They've heard culture thing, right? Cleanliness is next to godliness. There's a good one. Not in the Bible. Right? Maybe in the book of Hezekiah. For those of you that, there's no book of Hezekiah. Just to let you know. And the Spirit sustaining him, and the Spirit is sustaining him in all his weaknesses, right? So he's very solid in the Word. He knows the Word, right? Remember this even back when Jesus was a child in the temple when he gets lost, right? They're just amazed at this kid who's not been under any of the Pharisees' teachings, just can just quote Scripture and everything. Obviously, the Spirit of God, right? He is the Son of God, the very embodiment of God, and we're going to look at that as we walk through John a little bit more. But it's the Spirit and this sustaining Word that has kept him on this path. It's the same thing that keeps us on our path. Psalm 119, 105, right? Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. These are our steps immediate. That's what, when you look at this, it's a lamp unto my feet, right? So I can see my feet. I can see directly where I'm standing in the proximity in this immediate spot. But it's also a lamp unto my path, right? A light unto my path, showing me a further direction. It's lighting the way for me to walk. It's both and. It's my close steps and my far steps. This word is going to monitor me and walk me through all of my life, right in the immediate and in the future. It's always with me. That is what the word is. It will always sustain us and pull us through anything. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your heart, your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. This transformational word of God is our source of instruction and formation as a believer, along with the Holy Spirit in us and working within us to apply it to all of our life situations. A lot of people will say, well, the Bible makes no sense. I can't apply it to my life. It will. It will. The more you absorb it, the more you read it, the more you dig into it, you'll find it on a daily basis. And especially if you're reading on a daily basis, you'll find little things. God's going to open up ways. It's not reading a ton of scripture every day and just trying to barrel through stuff. I did a reading plan with a group of guys that I disciple, and just an incredible group of guys. But they're all really high-driven business guys, right? And they're all just taking over the world, right, kind of guys. And they're just awesome gentlemen. And they just knew something was missing in their lives. And they knew that something was Christ. So we began a discipleship process with them. And so none of them had ever read the Bible through. So what we did, I said, well, let's do this. We're going to do it in 90 days. So you can find these programs, right? Go to YouVersion, and you can find all these different types of reading plans. There's so many things you can do. But we did it in 90 days, right? And that's like 12 chapters a day. And it was crazy. One guy actually went out and bought the Cliff Notes. And I'm like, are you serious? And they're like, well, it's hard to keep up. But I said, you know what I noticed with this group of guys, it was so great. I said, if we would have done it in a year, you'd still be behind. Because we do tend to miss stuff and we slide off. So it was just a good way for us to just get an overview quickly. I don't suggest that all the time, but it can be a good thing just to, I'm going to buzz through it just to get an overview. And I like reading the Bible through in a year, every year. It's a good thing to do because it does change, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But this transformational word, right? We want to know the word, and we want to keep it deep in our hearts because it brings, as it said, life and healing. It's kind of like an antiseptic in that way. I mean, you think, have you ever, you know, those of you that might be in nursing or have done that, right? When somebody goes, or you know anybody who's gone septic, right, in their body, right? Not a good thing, right? Not a good thing at all. We're blessed that we have these things that filter out stuff, right? But this is what the word does as well. It keeps us healthy. It's an antiseptic in that regard, that it rinses us clean, right? It accomplishes this cleansing aspect as well. So it instructs and informs us, but it also cleanses us. Ephesians 5, 25-26. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. Now, this I just did a wedding a couple weeks ago, and this is one of those passages that I brought out. Now, as I bring out in marriage counseling stuff, as we bring out for premarital counseling, this text, right, largely Paul is talking about the church, but he's using this husband-wife relationship because marriages are to reflect the permanency of God's relationship with his bride, his church, and the commitment of his bride, the bride, to the groom, Christ, right? And it depicts really that. That's the bigger picture of this passage. But we can use it well in the context of marriage as well. But what does this mean? Having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. As I said, it's usually about a marriage text, right? But the Mosaic law actually instructed that an item or a person would go through a sanctification process before they would actually be ready to serve the Lord, okay? So they'd go in, they'd take a bath, basically, walk through a washing pool, a bathing pool, come out and clean, much like baptism, right? Going under, being cleansed, right? Only after this sanctification or this washing could an item or a person be used in the worship ceremony to serve God or worship him. Now, a believer, okay, when we're considering the word, a believer is washed by the word of God as he or she studies it. As the believer studies God's word, his or her mind is renewed to the very mind of Christ. And this enables and prepares believers to know the very will of God, which is necessary to be effectively doing the work for God. I mean, how can you do the work if you don't know what the work is, or we haven't studied it? How can you properly teach people? I talk to so many people, I don't know what to do to talk to people, to teach people, because I just don't know the word. It's like, well, why not? Why not? And sadly, you know, and I take people along from that point and bring them to that process, because I think too often I think we have a state in our church where we lack discipleship. It's a very lacking spot. I mean, we see churches actually going away from the word today. It's very clear. There's a lack of discipleship that is happening. Consequently, if we fail to study his word and we don't open ourselves or our minds to be washed and cleansed by it, then our own spiritual growth will be stunted. We will struggle through life spiritually immature and carnal, trapped by base desires of our sinful nature, and not growing into the full stature of Christ. I mean, this is what Christianity is about, right? Being Christ-like. We're supposed to grow into the image of Christ. How do we do that? Except through the Word and the Spirit. That's all. If we're to be like Christ, we have to put on the mind of Christ, which is knowing the Word and having the Spirit within us that is going to guide and direct and help us apply that very Word. There's no other way. This is the method that God has chosen for us. It's the way he's chosen for his church, his disciples, his followers, to grow. It's foolish and futile for us to moan over our lack of spiritual growth if we're unable or if we're unwilling to apply ourselves to the study of God's word. We'll never be prepared for the service that God has for us if we don't study and dig in and follow the Spirit's leading continually through our lives. Just as it would be just completely foolish for a hospital to hire doctors that don't study medicine, right? We can't expect God to employ his workers if they don't study his word and don't prepare themselves for it. Now, a little caveat on that. You're ready to serve God immediately the moment you come to believe. Don't sit there and say, oh, I got to keep feeding my head before I can be of service. No. God will take you right where you're at. We'll talk about that in one of our messages coming up in John when we look at the woman at the well, especially specifically. Don't let that hold you back. You'll never have enough knowledge. I have too many friends who sit and they're puffing themselves up with knowledge all the time, but they're not actively reaching out to people and sharing the good news. So don't let that stop you, but continue to study, continue to dig in. Know the word. Jesus spent 3 years teaching his disciples. I mean, without that constant washing of the word, right, he knew they would fail in the mission that he was about to send them on. Likewise, without conscientious, careful, and constant study of God's word, we will fail too. As I said earlier, I grew up in the church, so I was one that listened in confirmation, did all those things, right? I remember I shared with the guys that at my junior year where they would usually go to the guidance counselor, and they'd say, hey, what are you going to do with your life? Where are you going to go? And I remember coming out of my meeting, and all my buddies are sitting out there. They're like, oh, hey, did he ask you? And I'm like, ask me what? He said, did he ask you if you ever considered the ministry? And I'm like, no. Apparently, he asked everybody else, but not me. And here I am today. None of my friends are in ministry in that regard. And many actually have fallen and are following more of the ways of the world rather than the scripture. But what happened to me, I've shared a little bit, I went off, I was in the rock and roll lifestyle kind of thing. I came back, I knew that wasn't the right way. I ended up meeting a Mormon individual, a guy who we actually did business together, and great man of God. I mean, he just studied, and I watched your family. I'm like, wow, these guys, they got it together. I'm like, again, I never read scripture before. And I'm like, man, this seems like they're right on. And I'm like, look at their families. The kids go off for missionary trips for 2 years. I'm like, why weren't we doing that? Why weren't we not making as much of an impact and driving towards that? And their family, if you're old enough, you might know Leave It to Beaver. It was kind of like the Leave It to Beaver world. I mean, it's like, hi, Dad. Oh, hi, son. How you doing? It was so nice. It was great. But it was awesome. It was something you desired. I was like, that's great. Like, man, that's not the way, it always is in my home. But it was just so perfect. And I looked at that. I'm like, I want that. And there's good parts about it that I really liked. And so he realized my background. He said, here's what I want you to do, Willie. I want you to read the New Testament fully through and then read the Book of Mormon. And so I did. And by the time I was done with the New Testament, reading it fully through, and I was reading a little King James version, a little pocket thing, and it was just really small, and I won't tell you that all sorcery. I say that for the guys. But I read it. I couldn't dig into it enough. I just couldn't get enough of the word. And it was just, I was just changing. I just knew it. I was just, something was going on in me. And I could just remember scripture. Stuff would just stick in my head. And towards the end of the New Testament, you read a lot of books that are talking about the Antichrist. We saw that with John. We see that with Jude. There's all this stuff about the Antichrist. And God is speaking to me. That is it. That is it. What you're going to read next is it. And so I did read the Book of Mormon after that because I said I would. And there's no doubt that I was like, it was plagiarized. And I've done further study of Mormonism itself. But I had to quit my business with my friend because he was constantly bringing people down to a path that was not right. And from that point on, I remember scripture. I didn't want to go to seminary because I've seen seminaries teach people not to trust the word. At least some of the seminaries that some of my friends were attending. And I was like, what? why would you do this? And we talk about scripture. They said, well, where do you find that? I go, well, it's right here. And I had no seminary training. But what I had was the Spirit and the Word. You don't need seminary training to follow God. You have His Spirit. The Spirit will guide you in the Word. And He'll drive you clear to what is truth. Accept it as what it is. It is truth. The very truth of God. Changed my life forever. I wouldn't be here today if it wouldn't be for that Mormon. Actually challenged me to read Scripture. I want to make that challenge to you today. Dig in. Read it. Read that New Testament fully through. Read all the Bible fully through. Start in the next coming week. Start with John. Start with John with us. See that God is not going to show you something more. It'd be great to have these little conversations as we're all reading it together. We'll have these other side conversations that are happening along. Right? It's the body. It's the body of Christ working together. Iron sharpens iron. It's all of us helping one another to understand and live a greater purpose in our lives that God wants us to live. I'm going to last Hebrews 4. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. As you take in this word, it's going to transform you. It's going to cut you to the heart at times. If you open yourself up to it, it's going to show you error, but it's also going to encourage you where you're going well. The whole purpose is that we become more like Christ. If we just let it form us and let the Spirit do its work and then follow its lead, that's the part where the obedience part comes in. We need to dig in. We need to do it. Again, many reading plans out there. I encourage you to check out YouVersion app. Just go to the YouVersion app. There's many Bible plans you can read, do. I like the aspect of reading the Bible in a year or even over a two-year period or a three-year period. They got different ones you can do. I'd encourage you to do that. Get yourself set up. And do it with someone else. Have the buddy system, because it's easy to not continue when we just do it on our own. We need each other, right? It's not meant to be formed in isolation. Christianity is not a lone wolf thing. It's meant to be done together in community. And probably one of the biggest whys, I'm going to leave you with this before we go into communion, is I love 2 Timothy 4. It says, preach the word, verse 2 through 5. Be ready in season and out of season. Well, we can be ready when we're continually reading the word. We're always ready to give some kind of word when we're in the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. It's important for us who say we are believing in the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through me. It's important for those of us who claim that truth to really know the truth. So equip yourselves. Equip yourselves to do the work that God has called us to. At this time, we're going to have communion. This will be our last communion of the year. And I love that. It's a little intimate here today. This is going to be great. I've felt, well, if we're going to do communion, we should, and I'm talking about the word, it'd be good to look at the word as far as communion. Paul planted this church in this city called Corinth. It's probably like a modern-day red light district meets Las Vegas, right? Very ugly place. Sin's perversions were just horrible there, right? But this is where Paul plants a church. So you can imagine, it's a little messy. So he's writing them. He says, but in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. He said, for in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there's divisions among you, and I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. So there is going to be a difference of those who really accept the truth and those who just kind of half-heartedly do it. The wheat from the chaff for those that, now there's going to be a separation of a true believer and those that say they believe but not really wanting to dig in. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, the other gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat or drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. So they're getting drunk at communion. Right? One little sip, that's all we need, right? Of course, we have grape juice here. I don't think any of us will have to worry about that. But then he goes on to instruct to them what it is. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" We talked at Christmas the other day that Jesus came once and he's coming again. As we receive these elements today, I want you to come up and take them. I want you to just continue and examine. Paul continues, he says, "Let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink the cup." I want you to examine yourself. Examine where have you been at in your life when it comes to the Word and digging into the Word or your knowledge of the Word, and just start anew. Start anew. Say, "Jesus, start something new in me today." I want you to take time to just be with the Lord in that. So get the elements, go back to your seats, and then we're all going to take this together as one body.